I'll ask you then, Chris. I'll ask you.
Oh. Firstly,
Happy New Year.
Yes.
Secondly, how was your holiday time?
It was good. I had a great time. I was in Ireland. Nice to see the family. Then I immediately came back and had to do lots of work whilst everyone else was still off. And that bit wasn't so fun. How about you?
Well, I spent, I would say, a good 90% of the time thinking I had COVID. But then not having it.
Yeah.
I think I might have dodged the bullet, but then you never know with these things, do you?
You do.
So I won't say too
much. But one thing that is a constant, Martin, is Norpois. We are still continuing into the new year. Welcome everybody. Welcome back to Norpois.
Norpois is shameful.
Norpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Norpois is no fun.
Yep, Norpois is back for 2022. My name's Martin, that is Laura. We are two UK Eurovision fans who don't know everything there is to know about Eurovision. Absolutely not. But
we are trying
to learn. And we're doing that actually a little bit later on in the podcast with some expert help.
We very
often refer to the OGAE UK, which is the UK arm of the OGAE, which is the fan organization of Eurovision. So all the people who are just fanatical about the competition, they join this group in the various countries, and there's an organization committee within it, and it elects a president, and there's a new president who's coming on this podcast later.
Indeed, yeah, really looking forward to having a chat with Vaughan Staples, the new president of the OGAE UK, hearing his thoughts on how we can improve. There must be something we could do to get out of the double Norpois situation we had in 2021. But as we've been away, there have been lots of new entries that have been released and announced who are taking part in Eurovision 2022. I'm going to have to keep remembering that we're in 2022 now. It's quite weird still. But I think we're going to take a quick look at these. We've also got a song that's been announced, which we're going to have a quick listen to. But first up, we've got for Greece, we've got Amanda Tenfjord. I think that's how you say her name. It's, and it probably isn't. But she has been picked to represent Greece in Turin.
Yes. And the first thing to say, actually, is her real name isn't actually Tenfjord.
No. Yes, that's right.
She's 24 years old. She was born in Greece, but she moved with her family to Norway very soon after, and she settled in a place called Tenfjord, and that's
right.
Where her stage name comes from, you
see. I see. Now, that's interesting because, of course, remember which act had a Norwegian name in 2021 and did pretty well? It was, of course, Måneskin.
Indeed.
Of course, we're not actually inciting that will be the way she wins the competition because she has a slightly Norwegian name, but interesting to know anyway. But there you go. Yeah, we don't have a song from Amanda yet, but there we go. 24 years old. Her song, Troubled Water, was included, and Netflix included it in the TV series Spinning Out. So, you know, she has had sort of form in being part of these kind of bigger productions and things like that before. So interested to see how she does, because Grease did very well last year. So interesting to see how that will fare. Next up, we've got the Czech Republic and We Are Domi.
Yes, who formed in the UK back in 2018.
Well,
I know. They've got some British connections, but they are representing the Czech Republic. They're called We Are Domi. Have you got any idea what Domi means? Why are they called that?
I mean, I'm guessing not like Dominatrix or anything.
No,
I'm guessing that's
no,
not
I don't think that is what it would be.
We'll have to search and find out what that might mean. But yeah, they're an electropop band. Now, I don't know about you, Martin. I don't know how electropop really fares. I mean, they do look quite fun, I have to say. They've got a lot of high energy to them, and they seem to blend their influences quite well. So I don't know. I think this could do well, but it really depends on the song at the moment.
Yeah, they had a song that they performed in the national final the selection program,
right,
which is called Lights Off. Whether that will be a song that goes forward to Eurovision in 2022, don't know.
Yeah, because they haven't said whether that's the case yet. But I think this could be one to watch, because the Lights Off performance was really good, and the kind of sort of thing they're looking for in Eurovision, I think. I think this could be a one to watch.
Meanwhile, and whipping through these now, because there were quite a few to bring you, because we haven't been bringing you these up to date podcasts for a little while, because we've been having a little break. Montenegro and Vladana is representing that country. She is described as a slice of pop perfection and an accomplished singer-songwriter, which is high praise and makes you think that it could all come crashing down.
Well, hopefully not now. Let's see. She said she kind of did a reveal video where she said she was going to be representing Montenegro for Eurovision for Moldova. She's going to be representing Montenegro for Eurovision. There we go. Got it the right way around. She said, "I know that life is in both black and white keys. Oh. And every day is a brand new song. That's why it's interesting. Okay. We only realise what it means to fight for a life when it begins to hurt, and when the cure is the only mission. This is my song, my cure for Europe and for the world."
She's singing about vaccines.
Yeah,
she's
I think
doing
she
it.
Is, isn't she? I think she might be singing about the old Rona. But there you go. I mean, it's. I don't think we've ever had someone call their song for Eurovision the cure before.
No.
But it's the first, isn't it? I will be certainly interested to hear what exactly it's going to cure.
Yes.
Will it cure our boredom? Let's find out.
I don't know about that. Anyway, finally, let's move on to an actual song that we can bring you to hear. Because most of these have just been, we're sending this person, but we don't know what the song's going to be yet. But now we do actually know another song that is going, so we can listen to this. This is Albania's entry. Ronella Hajati is going to be performing The Secret, or Secret, which is spelt with a K. Go, 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 wild dances. It's not far off, that.
Can I tell you what it reminds me of a little bit? And I think you're going to agree with this. It very much reminds me of Manzina and Russian Woman.
Not far off that at all, actually.
Yeah,
you're right. Represented Russia in 2021.
The sort of spoken word in I'm assuming it's in Albanian, and then sort of the powerful female voice reminds me a lot of that, which I really liked. I really liked that song, Russian Women. This, I think maybe because I don't quite get what's being put across and the message I don't like quite as much. But I do know she has said she was speaking to WeWee Blogs, and she did say that some of it is going to include English in Turin. So the song is going to include more English when they revamp it for Eurovision 2022. So it's not going to be completely in Albanian. So the song may come to life, at least for me, a little bit more once I kind of get what the message is. But besides that, I quite like it. I like the spoken word. She's got a strong presence on stage. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I certainly enjoyed it. I thought there was a lot of difference. The song went on a journey, and I know we don't really know what it's about yet, but musically it went on a journey. It starts, and you didn't hear it in that clip, but it kind of starts quite slowly, and almost there's this almost choir-like sound. Then we get the drums coming in like Ruslana Wild Dances. Then we hear some ethnic instrument happening, which is again double thumbs up from me for that. That's what you need in a bit of Eurovision. And then this very powerful vocal. And I think all of those together could be working well. is it all knitted together or is it just little bits? I'm not sure, but I like it.
Same. I mean, she's going to have to cut back on the number of people on stage, I think, because
I think there's 15 or 20.
Yeah, there was. You can only have six, can't you? So she might have to do away with a few. Who's going to get the chop? We'll have to find out. But yeah, not a bad entry there from Albania, and interested to see where they take it.
Absolutely. Okay, this is Nul Poir, and still to come, your correspondence, which has been coming in thick and fast over the Christmas period. So getting to that very shortly.
Right, well, it's a new year, and that means we've also got to speak to a new guest, and it's actually a new president as well of the OGAE UK, and that is, of course, the official UK fan club for Eurovision. We spoke to Alistair before. He's stepped down now, and we've got a new president to have a chat with, and that is Vaughan Staples. How are you, Vaughan? Welcome.
Hello, Mr. Hello. President. Hello.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. No, it's lovely to speak to you.
Yeah, really appreciate you coming on. And I guess the first question we want to ask, just to get to know you a little bit more, is, you know, how did you get into Eurovision?
So the first contest I remember watching was Gina G in 1996.
Excellent.
And as a young boy, it left a big impression on me. And actually, I do remember as a family, we would get together to watch it and we would have, you know, we would score and things like that. That was a thing we would do and say, oh, what's our favourite songs? And then again, obviously, I remember 97. And then the big moment really was 1998. So I'm originally from Birmingham and the contest came to Birmingham. And I just remember, because obviously the contest really in Birmingham changed to being a big sort of arena style event. And I remember really vividly like marking each song and getting into each song. And then just by coincidence, 99, when Charlotte won with Take Me to Your Heaven, which is my all-time favourite ever Eurovision song.
That's a good choice.
It is a great choice.
Yeah, that was another thing where I'm like, that's when I went from, I love this thing, to, God, I might be a bit fanatical about this now. and that's when the sort of fandom really inside me started, I think.
Yeah, I do wonder whether there is that moment that clearly was for you when you suddenly realised, I think I like this more than other people. And I didn't quite realise that was necessarily the case. So that's how you got in your kind of your Eurovision journey. And I think everybody starts differently, but the common theme there, I think, is watching it as a kid and with your family and it being that bit of family entertainment that you grew up with and then you became really passionate about. How do you go from that then and discovering that you are, your words, fanatical about it, how do you go from that to wanting to become the president of the OGAE UK?
Yeah, so maybe around 2005, you start thinking, okay, I'm not the only person in my bedroom loving this. You know, there are other people around loving this. And it was in 2011 that I came across the fan club and I joined the fan club. So I've become president in 2021. So I've been part of the fan club for a decade now and just slowly have got involved in the fan club and what it does. And one of the first people that sort of spoke to me was John and Alistair, who was the president before me. And they were lovely. At the time, I was living in London. They lived in London. And they're like, right, well, there's so many things that happen in London as well. And it kind of felt there was a natural kind of progression going towards maybe I could be the next president to stand, really.
What kind of things are you hoping to achieve as president then? Tell us your goals, your aims.
This is your manifesto moment. I got the lecterns there and the banners.
I mean, you're in now, so you could do what you like, really, but yeah.
I mean, you say that, Laura, and people are messaging me to tell me what I can and can't do still. But okay. I think really, I mean, I took, you know, when I was looking at doing this, you know, and I'm not going to, you know, I've put it out there that I am friends with Paul and Alistair, and I kind of took a sounding of where things were when I was looking to stand, and most people were happy. I didn't make any bones about putting myself more as a continuity candidate. Certainly, if it's not broke, do we need to fix it? You know, so I'm there to really make sure that those things that work and people are happy with, that we can continue and build on them. But also, I am my own unique character. You know, my biggest thing I think a benefit of the club is that you get everyone from all different walks of life that have all the different opinions and all the favourite songs that they like and all the, particularly something like Eurovision, the different genres. And so, you know, we are a broad church and we need to remain, I think, as a benefit, a broad church. So it's making sure that if you want to be a member of the club, but you want to just get a certain thing out of the club, but you can do that. So for me, I just want to make sure there is a place for everyone and they can get whatever they want out of the club, out of it.
I think we need to move the conversation now from the OGAE UK to Eurovision a little bit more, because I'm very keen to talk to other Eurovision fans about what they like, what they don't like about it, and also their thoughts on the current UK situation. And you're very well placed to do this, of course, in your role. I mean, let me put it bluntly, where on earth are we going wrong?
I'll keep it short.
I think you'll struggle.
I think I will. So again, I think the first bit I need to do as disclaimer is, you know, I am president of the fan club now. And yeah, there will probably be conversations between me and the BBC coming up. So what I'm about to say is my personal views. However, sit down and get ready. So where are we going wrong? I really do get dismayed with the approach the BBC are continuing to take. It is doing real damage every time we are going to the contest and are not getting it right. What frustrates me the most is it's nothing against necessarily the individuals we send, but we are not getting the package right at all. We are not going to other countries maybe or other nationalities, songwriters or singers to learn from them. I feel we kind of stay in our own bubble and we don't seem to learn each time we're getting it wrong. And my biggest worry is the more we get it wrong, there is only so much patience the British public will have in us doing so badly. We need to start climbing that scoreboard more quickly as we go on. So for me, it is about the BBC taking a step back, looking at what other countries are doing and looking about how we can do things and learning more rather than thinking, oh, this is what we can do and just doing it. And this is not me blaming any individual at the BBC either. I understand the constraints the BBC are in. We maybe need to look at sponsorship and how it's funded. In an ideal situation, an ideal world, we would have collaboration between broadcasters. And I suppose in my ideal world, the ITV would sort out national final and the BBC would actually show the contest. I think ITV would do the national final and the selection show really well, because that's what they do well. You know, all the broadcasters work together and I think we could do that as well.
Do you think we need to go back to the idea of a selection process, or are you happy with this new idea we've had in the last few years of the BBC working with a record company?
I think there are pros and cons to it all, and you see both work well, again, in other countries. The obvious one is Melodifestivalen in Sweden. I think that's still a market for us to have our own version of that. We don't have anything that I think really focuses on new songs and songwriting. So I think there is a market for a Melfest style competition in the UK. However, I also see countries do very well at picking the song. Do I think the British public should always be trusted and have always got it right when we had a national final? No. The majority of the public may still feel that a certain song is what should be sent to Eurovision. I don't really think I've answered that question as yay or nay. I think, though, take a bigger risk if you're going to do an internal selection. And if you're going to do a national final, make it a quality national final. Go down a road that's a format that you can build on.
Oh, my word. There's so much to think about there and lots of food for thought. And Vaughan, you're going to have to come back on the podcast at some point because there are so many. There's so many directions that this conversation could go. But unfortunately, we are out of time. Just before you disappear, people might be listening and thinking, I want to get involved with this club. I want to find out more about how I can join the OGAE. How can people do that?
We have a website, oje.uk, which will be being revamped as soon as possible. But all the joining details are on there. We're on all the social media. So we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and we are on Instagram. But to actually sign up, go on our website, oje.uk, become a member and join the family.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks so much, Vaughan. And yes, hopefully we can get together and see you at some point this year. Well, definitely in Turin, we'll be there. So I hope to see you there.
Lovely. Thank you. And thank you so much for having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Okay, to your correspondence. But just before we do that, actually, just before we get to the correspondence, I wanted to mention this, Cress, because I was kind of titting around on YouTube not too long ago, and I watched Darthy and his wife do a little YouTube video. It's like a sit-down 45-minute talk about the whole Eurovision story. Remember when we had Darthy on? He talked about a little bit of that with us. He goes into such detail, and if you ever wanted to get a bit of an idea of what their Eurovision story was like, because it was so strange, what with all COVID happening, and they didn't actually get to perform, and they had to sit in isolation and watch it. And it's so, so interesting. And they set it out brilliantly. I want to be their best mates now, just watching them interact together and just sort of be husband and wife and chat. And it's a lovely, genuinely lovely video to watch. And it's on Darthy's YouTube. So if you get a chance, watch that. Watch that. Correspondence then, because there's been stuff happening over the Christmas period.
There has indeed. And thanks for all your sort of wishes of Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that kind of thing. Shout out to Liam on Twitter, who tweeted, "Listening to Nul Poir while doing my Christmas driving is not how I saw my day going, but here we are." Here we are, and I'm not mad about it. Well, how did you plan? What did you see? How did you see your day going, Liam? Why wasn't Nul Poir part of that plan? But I'm glad we were in some stage whilst you were doing your Christmas driving. But, you know, sorry.
Yeah, sorry that we were the sort of disappointing backup option, but whatever.
Maybe it was a good thing. That's what I like to think Liam meant by that. But thank you very much, Liam. It sounds like you had a good time anyway. Thank you very much to Mickey Rubin. And by the way, if you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, we are at Poitnull. Thank you very much to Mickey Rubin on Insta, who gave us 5 stars on Spotify. Thank you so much. And said, thank you for a lovely podcast. Oh, thank you very much.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Thank you for being a lovely listener, Mickey. We do, if you want to do that, anyone who's listening, you could do it on iTunes. You can give us 5 stars or Spotify. I noticed someone didn't give us a 5-star on Apple.
Oh, no.
On iTunes. So don't do that. If you don't like it, just don't listen.
You don't have to listen to the whole thing and then go, well, that was awful. Just stop listening. Well, just stop listening. Whoa. Just bail.
Just stop listening. That's it. Also, don't stop listening, though. Just do keep listening. So
mixed messages now.
Thank you. Yeah, just keep listening. But thank you for all those and all the other sort of Christmas wishes and everything we got as well. Really appreciate it. Remember, we are on Instagram, Nul Poir Podcast on Instagram. And if you want to send us an email, we do really like the emails because it's great to kind of connect with people and other Eurovision fans. What did you think about what Vaughan had to say? Do you think we should have a Melfest style competition for the UK to pick who should perform for the UK in Eurovision? Let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear them. nulpoirpodcast@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Now, this is the time of year where the songs start to kind of drop, drippity-droppity in over the next few months as we lead up to the Eurovision Song Contest in Turin. Really looking forward to bringing you some of those songs and our thoughts on them, as well as some great guests. Look, a big old bumper 2022 planned for you here on Nul Poir. So really excited for that. And we'll be back next week with another edition. So thank you very much for listening. Until the next time, goodbye from Nul Poir!